Congregation may be seated. This morning, as we prepare to spend time together in God's Word, I'd like to once again encourage you to keep your worship bulletin handy. And if you would, go ahead and turn to the back portion of your bulletin. There you'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes. I trust that God will lay something on your heart to take home with you today that He wants you to apply to your week and to your relationships. If you're in need of something to write with this morning, I encourage you to raise your hand and one of our ushers will be glad to get something to you. When's the last time you heard that noise? How many of us here this morning are gluttons for punishment and have actually made that our morning alarm or our ringtone? Anybody? Yeah, that's what I thought. So we've heard that noise before, have we not? Maybe you've been driving down the road, or maybe how about this? Maybe you've fallen asleep. Any of you ever fall asleep watching TV at night or a movie? Yeah, and you're laying there, and all of a sudden that noise comes on. And it's the emergency alert system, right, or emergency broadcast system. And you get that weekly test, you know, that all of a sudden, like, pulls you out of your slumber, and you're sitting wide awake, and you're thinking, okay, where do I have to go? What do I have to do? Or maybe you're driving down the road, and the alert comes on your smartphone, like it did for me this past week, and we're informed that there is something coming down the road, and it's coming soon, and we need to be aware. Or maybe you've been watching a big game or some other activity or some of your favorite television programming, and then all of a sudden, it comes up, doesn't it? When's the last time you heard the emergency alert system? Where were you? What'd that look like for you? Who were you with? What was going on? What was your response? This morning, as we continue with our sermon series, AD, taking a look at the life of the early church, right on the heels of the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, we're going to see how God put into effect His own form of the emergency alert system. So this morning, what I'd like to do in a moment as we take a look at our sermon video, I'd like for you to look and to listen in for the way in which God is instituting and launching His very own emergency alert system. Let's take a look at the screens up front. Check this out.
Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debts. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Morning from God's Word and from our sermon video this morning, we see that God has instituted His own emergency alert system, but it's not that obnoxious noise we heard moments ago. No, it's nothing like that. It's not something that comes up on your smartphone. It's not something that's going to flash on your TV. It's something much, much different, much more personal, much more relational, and includes you and me this morning. You know what that is? It's the church. Once again, we hear this from the book of Acts. Let me share this with you. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. This is the fulfillment of the word that Jesus gave to his apostles following his death and resurrection. This is the fulfillment of his word. This is Jesus keeping his word. Check this out, verses 1 to 6. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. So once again, it wasn't a warning of some horrific meteorological event. It certainly wasn't a Fort Wayne tornado. It wasn't a windstorm. It wasn't a hurricane. It wasn't hail. It wasn't rain. It was something much, much bigger, much, much more important. It was the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that needed to come to you and to me today. God's emergency alert system that needed to happen, and it needed to happen soon. There was no sitting on it. And the response? Think back for a minute to your responses when you've heard the emergency alert system. What's your response been? Honey, turn that off. I can't stand it anymore. It's giving me a headache. I don't want this anymore. Shut it down. Turn it off. Swipe, erase, delete. Get out of my sight. But what happens when the emergency alert system is the greatest news and the greatest story ever told? What is the response? Well, Luke shares with us once again, verse 12. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another. The people asked each other, what does this mean? They all became Lutherans in that moment. The Holy Spirit came and they all became Lutherans, right? One of our famous questions as Lutherans is, what does this mean? Because we have a hunger to know God's word. We have a hunger to understand the scriptures and what it means for us today. Not some stuffy document that we put on a shelf and collect dust with. No, something that informs our lives, our conversations, and our relationships. Amen? So the people got to know, what does this mean? What does this emergency alert system broadcast mean? What does this mean for our city of Jerusalem? What does this mean outside of Jerusalem for people who haven't heard about God, about Jesus? And what does this mean for me? Maybe you've come to a point in your life where you've asked similar questions. What does this mean for my life? You know, you come into a building like this and you hear the guy up front talk like Exhibit A. And you're wondering, what does this mean for me? It wasn't that they all became Lutherans. It was they hungered for the truth about the activity and presence of God in their lives. You ever wondered about that for yourself? God, what are you up to in my life? God, I don't understand the situation I find myself in. God, I'm struggling to process what I've heard in my coworker's life or in my neighbor's life or in my family member's life or in my friend's life. God, I don't understand this. God, I don't understand what's going on in our nation. I don't even understand what's going on in my own backyard. You ever hungered to know the truth about what God's doing in your life? When was that for you? What did that look like? When was the last time you ran into somebody or God? Let me back up for a minute. Let me rephrase that. When's the last time God put somebody in your life that was hungering for the truth about the activity and presence of God in their lives, his or her life? Who's that person? Who comes to mind for you at this moment? Is it a coworker? Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's somebody you're sitting next to this morning. Maybe it's somebody in your house. So the next question is, what does that look like? So in other words, how do I know that God is putting somebody in my life that he is wanting me to engage, somebody that he is wanting me to connect with the truth about Jesus Christ? as the emergency alert system, not as a resounding, crazy, obnoxious sound, but maybe as a relational vessel to share hope. Maybe you've heard things like this that I've heard. When's the last time you heard something like this? I just don't understand this. Or how about this? This is a big one. I don't feel God's presence. There's part of my head and my heart that knows he exists, and I know his word is true, but I just don't feel him here. You ever said that? You ever felt that? You feel that way this morning? Do you know somebody who's in that place? How about this? Where is he? What do I do now? What does God want from me in this point in my life, this age, this stage of my life? You ever heard those questions? The people want to know the truth. And so this is what God does through his emergency alert system, the church. People who know the truth about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the hope that you and I have. This is what they said. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. What we discussed this morning in our adult Bible class is what I now share with you. The men who are sharing this message did not go to seminary. Shocking. They did not go to a weekend seminar. Amazement. They did not go to an online course. They did not go to some spiritual retreat. No, what they had for their very lives was the person and work of Jesus Christ, the same Jesus that comes to you and to me in the strength of a promise and in his word and the sacraments like we celebrate today. And it's from that relational standpoint that these uneducated men, fishermen, politicians, and so forth, are able to speak genuinely from the heart and in the strength of their relationship with Jesus. Here's what I know. Or in other words, let me share with you what God is doing in my life today. This is the testimony, this is the witness of the early church, and this continues to be the testimony of the church. God has given you a story. God's given you a story to tell. And your story is going to be a little bit different than the person sitting next to you, but the common thread that we all share is this. Jesus Christ died for you, and he died for me. And he rose for you, and he rose for me. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 picks it up for us. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brother, what shall we do?" In other words, tell me more. You ever been in the middle of a good story, like a good fishing story, Bob? Bob's got some great fishing stories. But you got to wait till the end. You ever started telling a good story, and you found somebody captivated by what you're saying? And the response was just this, well, tell me more. You got me hooked. Don't leave me hanging now. I've been with you for the first part of it. Now don't leave me hanging. Give me the rest. You ever been in a place like that? Maybe you were sharing a story or maybe you were listening to one. I got to know how this plays out. And if we go to the book of Acts, we see this playing out as these men are sent out to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We find that in the strength of a relationship and an honest, transparent witness, this is the response of people who come in contact with Christ followers like you and me. I want to know more. I see something different in your life, so help me understand, how do I get that? Where does that come from? Who does that for you? And we see this in verses 38, 39. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So my question to you this morning is this. You as the emergency alert system, you who have been given the gospel of Jesus Christ, the best news on planet Earth, what will you do with that? Will you mute it? Will you swipe the screen and wipe it off? Will you turn down the volume? Will you pull the plug? Or will you go? Will you go trusting that the same Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is the same Holy Spirit that has come to you and me in our baptism and gives us what we need to share our faith? Will you go? There's a timestamp to this, by the way. Three times towards the latter part of the book of Revelation, the last book of our New Testament, we hear our Lord say this, not once, not twice, but three times. You tell me, what does he say? English would be fine this morning. Go ahead. Look, I am coming soon. If Jesus says it once, it's good enough for me. If he says it twice, you got my attention, Jesus. If you say it three times and it's time for me to put aside whatever else I've been listening to, tuning in, and it's time for me to do something about it. Friends, what are you going to do about it? Because when he comes, he comes. And the person that doesn't know Jesus, at that point in time, it's too late. The early church lived with this sense of immediacy and urgency. It wasn't like, well, let's put together a steering committee. We'll come back. We'll circle back in about 5 months, and we'll plan this thing out. We'll get a vision statement, and it'll be great, but we're not going to do it for another 5 years. When the Spirit knocks, he knocks, and it's time to go. Where is the Spirit knocking on your heart this morning? What will this look like for you this week? Who needs to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ through you? And what's that going to look like for us as the church? God has, for his own reasons, intentionally planted Praise Lutheran Church in this part of the city. He has entrusted to our care thousands of people in this part of the city. What are you going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Let's pray. Father, we come from many different backgrounds, many different areas of life, and many different parts of the country, and we're gathered here today as your people. Father, as we look back at your word and we see the group of early disciples that you pulled together, we see that they came from many different backgrounds as well. They were not eloquent speakers. They did not go to Toastmasters. They did not go to seminary. They did not go to weekend retreats, but they spent time with you. Today, we are spending time with you. We've heard your word, and very shortly, we will celebrate the gift of Holy Communion, where you promise to meet with us for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. So, Lord, to that end, we have no excuse for not sharing our faith. Forgive us for the times when we are reluctant to do so. Forgive us for the times when we let fear play a bigger role than your Holy Spirit. Father, it's never rested upon what people can do. It's always been about what you can do. So, Father, this morning we set ourselves before you as your sons and daughters, as your church here at Praise Lutheran Church, and we pray, Lord, that you would mobilize us to do the work you're calling us to do. We pray that you would use us, just as you used those early disciples in the early church, to be the emergency alert system, but not one that sounds like some obnoxious sound, but rather one that sounds full of grace, compassion, and hope. It's what we have. It's what you've given to us. So we pray, Lord, today that you would transform us, transform our lives, transform our conversations, and transform what we do. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. This time